Good evening. You're listening to The Strange Boutique on Brighton Hove Community Radio and also on Green Futures Festivals Radio. And I'm Dave Sharman, back from a week's hiatus due to a flood at my flat, unfortunately. Starting the show was The Monochrome Set and a track called The Monochrome Set, I presume, which is the opening track from their first album, The Strange Boutique, which is where this show gets its name from. I'd like to dedicate this track to Ellen, who's been through a bit of a hard time like I have, and I think needed cheering up with a Monochrome Set track, did she not, indeed? Okay, let's talk about the Monochrome Set. Okay, they're an English post-punk band, originally formed in 78 from the remnants of college group The B-Sides, whose members included, guess who, Adam Ant. The band is notable for its witty lyrics, especially the delivery of lead singer Bid and the idiosyncratic, retrogressive playing style of original lead guitarist Lester Square. Now, although they're known as being typically British, they are in fact, Bid is from India and, Lester Square, he is from, Canada, believe it or not. So there you go. Right, so the original lineup consisted of Indian-born lead singer and principal songwriter Bid, Canadian guitarist Lester Square, drummer was J.D. Haney, and the bassist was Charlie Harper. Don't think it was the Charlie Harper from UK subs. The band went through several bassists, including the next year Jeremy Harrington and Andy Warren of Adam and the Ants, believe it or not, and he is a childhood friend of Bid's. Experimental filmmaker Tony Potts began collaborating with the band in 79, designing lighting and stage sets with film projections for their early live performances. The band's early persona was defined by shadowy, uncertain stage images created by films to such an extent he has often been described as the band's fifth member. Aha! They released several singles for Rough Trade before recording their debut album, Strange Boutique, produced by Bob Sargent for Virgin Record imprint Dindisc. Do you remember Dindisc? Echo Beach, Far Away in Time, Martha and the Muffins was also on Dindisc, as was a guy called TikTok, I think. Anyway, I'm meandering. Their second album, Love Zombies, was produced by Alan Clark and the band later the same year, and we're talking about 1980 here. John Haney left the band in 81. One and was replaced by Lexington Crane. They only have people in the band who have interesting names by the looks of things. In 2011, Bid, Square and Warren reformed the band with an additional drummers. Several of them. I think there's three different drummers on Platinum Coil's album. Don't have the most recent album, but when I see them perform at the Green Door store on Saturday, the 11th of October, tickets cost £10, then I'll get a copy. If you want to know more about the Monochrome Set, the website is themonochromeset.co.uk. And also, as I said, the Monochrome Set, I presume, is track one from the album The Strange Boutique. There you go. Right, okay, this show's been cobbled together from some shows I did in 2011 because at the moment I don't have internet access, so I used my external hard drive to make sure that I went out with the show. And so it's a very mishmash, this kind of show, but I hope you enjoy it. I know I do. There's some great tracks coming up. This is I Like Trains and Sirens. We'll just magnifico, wasn't it? That was I Like Trains and Sirens. I Like Trains, previously styled as I Like Trains, all one word with lots of capitals mixed with lowercase. An English alternative post-rock band formed in Leeds. The band play brooding songs featuring sparse piano and guitar, baritone vocals, I like baritone vocals, uplifting choral passages and reverberant orchestral crescendos. I Like Trains were formed in 2004 and consist of David Martin, lead vocal and guitar, Guy Bannister on guitar, synth and vocals, Alistair Bowes on bass, synth and vocals, and Simon Fogle on the drums. The band released a single in 2004 called Autumn 2004. That's so you couldn't forget what year it was. In 2005, they released another single. It's called Stainless Steel, and later on they released their first official single, Before the Curtain Close, on Dance on the Radio Limited to 500 of their official single, Before the Curtains Close on Dance Radio Limited to 500 copies on 7-inch vinyl. In June 2006, they released their EP, Progress Reform, was released on Fierce Panda Records. These are great record labels' names, aren't they? The song Terra Nova was released as a single and went to 132 in the UK charts. Why didn't it do better? Why didn't you buy it, you people out there? Eventually, in 2007, they released their debut albums, Eulogies to Lessons Learned. Oh, I think I learned a lesson this week, didn't I? Don't open the door when you're being flooded. On Beggar's Banquet Records, the songs on the album are based on tragic historic events and figures, and the songs were created after thorough research and study. Oh dear, very good, very good. To celebrate 10 years in existence and after the centenary of the iconic Brunel Social Club, I Like Trains performed a special gig at a venue in Leeds, where for the first time they performed Progress Reform in full. That's the name of an album. They also remastered and reissued it on the 4th of November 2013 as 500 copy limited edition vinyl album. Some people still like vinyl out there, don't they? Sirens is track 7 from the album He Who Sings the Deep. ilikechains.co.uk. I had a look at that, actually. Quite a good website. Right, now to stalwarts of the new wave and punk scene. So we have Susie and Morrissey going to have a bit of a duet now. This is a track called Interlude. It's quite an old song, and it was recorded during the sessions for Morrissey's album Voxel and I, which is a bit like that film With Nail and I, isn't it? And was produced by Morrissey guitarist and musical director Boz Borah. The original version of this song was recorded in 68 by female singer Timmy Euro. Is that how you pronounce that? As a title track for the film of the same name. I'll press the button and you can hear it.
Nobody knows like a dream. And now for a time you are mine. Let's hold fast to the dream that tastes and sparkles like wine. Who knows, if it's real or just something we're both dreaming of? What seems like an interlude now could be the beginning of love. What seems like an interlude now could be the beginning of love. What seems like an interlude now could be the beginning of love.
There you go, Susie and Morrissey in a track called Interlude. So the interlude is over and you now have the Strange Boutique. Morrissey first contacted Susie in the early 90s with a view to recording a duet with her. In 93, he sent her a tape with some potential songs that he had selected. I bet they were a bit off the wall. All were numbers initially sung by female singers like Nancy Sinatra or Dionne Warwick. Susie picked the ballad and Morrissey agreed. The sessions went well and Bosborough later described his collaboration with Susie as a complete joy. Soon after the recordings, however, the two singers fell out with one another during the recording of the video. Ultimately, the video shoot never took place and the whole project was put on ice for a few months. EMI then threatened not to promote it without the existence of video support. What's more, although a winter song, against all expectations, EMI finally released Interlude in the summer of 94. Ah, that's good for them. Interlude was later included on a compilation called Suedehead, The Best of Morrissey, a previously unreleased version of the song featuring only Morrissey's vocals. Oh dear. Is on the 2011 Very Best Of compilation. Interlude was released as a single, I've written here. Ah, that's a bit obvious. If you want to know more about Morrissey, it's morrissey-solo.com. I don't have Susie's website to hand, unfortunately, but you can Google it, because you're clever like that, aren't you? Right, when this band was first played by the late, great John Peel, we thought at school that they were called the Young Marvel Giants, you know, as in Marvel Comics, and I thought that was quite a good name, but it is actually marble, as in, you know, the material that makes all those worktops you have in kitchens. So it's Young Marble Giants. This is a brilliant track. It's called Whirl It's a Jukebox, and Young Marble Giants are back. So if you live in certain areas of the country, you'll be able to get to see them.
Thank you. Well, it's a
I was grooving along to that nicely. Oh yes, Young Marble Giants and Well, It's a Jukebox. Well, they were one of the most quirkiest and most idiosyncratic groups to emerge from the early British new wave indie scene. Young Marble Giants, they were from Cardiff in Wales. Well, not so much a new wave in sound as in strategy. They subverted conventional pop rock methods by stripping both song and construction and instrumentation to its essence. The essence rare. The reverb, funky bass, a shrill organ, short choppy bursts of guitar chords, a soft clicking drum machine. That was all the trio needed. The hauntingly spacious sound was made both more intimate and foreboding by Alison Statton's coolly intoned, almost neutral vocals. The words were more important for their mood than their content. Pop minimalism of the first order. It now stands as one of the first fully formed expressions of the subgenre that we would call post-punk. I like that. I like that expression, the subgenre that we would call post-punk. Right, the album was called Colossal Youth, needless to say. It was also quite a resistance to the widespread commercial success, although it quickly attracted a cult following. Almost the whole of their output is contained on their debut, and as it turned out, their only album, Colossal Youth, released in 1980. After an EP in 81, the group broke up. I think that was a test card EP, actually. Alison Statton went on to more jazz lounge pop direction with Weekend and solo recordings. Young Marble Giants guitarist and principal Young Marble Giants songwriter Stuart Moxham formed a band called Grist, and in the 1990s, after a series of personal setbacks, began recording solo products with fuller and more traditional rock arrangements than those identified with the Young Marble Giants. As I say, Young Marble Giants are back and they're doing some gigs. If you want to know more about that, facebook.com/Young Marble Giants Official. Well, It's a Jukebox, track 11 from the album Colossal Youth. Great album that. And as I say, back again and touring. That's what we need. Right, we're going to smash two genres together here. We've got Captain Beefheart cover, and it's being done by Sonic Youth. This is a great version from the deluxe edition of Daydream Nation by Sonic Youth, and it's Thurston Moore on vocals, and he does a very good job at attempting the Beefheart-esque. But there you go.
Electricity.
You're listening to The Strange Boutique on Brighton Hove Community Radio and also on Green Futures Festivals Radio. And I'm Dave Sharman. That was Sonic Youth and Electricity. Sonic Youth was an American alternative rock band from New York City, formed in 81. Their most recent lineup consists of Thurston Moore guitar and vocals, Kim Gordon on the bass guitar, vocals and guitar and guitar vocals and vocals of guitar, Lee Ranaldo on guitar and vocals, and Steve Shelley bangy drums, and Mark Eibold on guitar and bass guitar. In their early career, Sonic Youth were associated with no wave art and the music scene in New York, New York City. Part of the first wave of American noise rock groups, the band carried out their interpretation of hardcore punk ethos throughout the evolving American underground that focused more on the DIY ethics of the genre rather than its specific sound. In 2011, Ranaldo announced that the band were ending for a while, following the separation of Moore and Gordon, because they were in a relationship together, weren't they? Thurston Moore updated and clarified the position in May 2014. Sonic Youth are on a hiatus. The band is a democracy of sorts, and as long as Kim and I are working out our situation, the band can't really function reasonably. That's a shame. Here's a little bit about Captain Beefheart on Electricity. While performing Electricity for a warm-up performance at Mount Tamplas Festival in 67, Beefheart stopped the song, straightened his tie and walked off the stage, landing first face flat into the grass. He later claimed that he saw a girl in the audience turn into a goldfish. This caused guitarist Ry Cooder to immediately quit the Magic Band because he couldn't deal with Beefheart's unpredictability. No, well, people can't, but Ry Cooder went on to other things, didn't he? Using the slide on his guitar. Anyway, Electricity is, or well, that version by Sonic Youth, is track 19 from the second CD of the deluxe version of A Daydream Nation. SonicYouth.com if you want to know what they did right up to now. Okay, this is my show. I'll play what I like. That's my excuse, and you can stick to it. Anyway, I'm now playing a track by The Fall, because The Fall, on the 25th of September, which is a Thursday, predictably, they will be playing Concord 2. Tickets cost £22 plus the ubiquitous booking fee. This is Blood Out of a Stone. It was Smith did the words, and a guy called Martin Beddington did the music. He's better known as Martin Brammer, and this was during the time that he rejoined the Fall after Britsy Smith left. So let's have Blood Out of a Stone.
Unfortunately, I'm coming from a bad end, and I'm destined for the bad end. But hanging around with you is like blood out of stone. Getting stuff out of use is like blood out of stone. Blood out of stone. Blood out of stone. Your history, you quit existation. Getting blood out of a stone. Getting stuck.
It's good to hear that again. That was Blood Out of a Stone by The Fall, or as he says it, Blood Out of Stone. In 89, Brammer unexpectedly returned to The Fall, because he was a founder member, if you don't know, taking the place of Brits E. Smith, who had recently left. Brammer admitted to Simon Ford that with his contact with Mark E. Smith around this time was not fortuitous. He'd known of Smith's marital split and actively sought to rejoin The Fall. He stayed for the recording of Extricate before being fired in Australia in August 1990. Following that, he formed a fresh incarnation of the Blue Orchids, this time alongside guitarist Craig Gannon, who was also in The Smiths at one point, releasing some singles, but their album would remain unreleased until 2003. A further return to The Fall was mooted around 98, but although Brammer rehearsed with some of the group's members, the reunion never took place. A little bit about Extricate, just a tiny fragment of about Extricate. The critical reception to Extricate was largely positive, with Melody Maker suggesting that it was possibly their finest yet, and The Enemy giving it a full 10 out of 10. During the Australian leg of the tour accompanying the album, both Brammer and Marcia Schofield, who were in a relationship, were sacked from the group, leaving The Fall as a quartet for the first time in their career. Blood Out of Stone is track 2 from the Dredger EP. It can also be found on versions of Shift, Work. So if you want to know more, go onto this site, visi.com/fall. And as I say, 25th of September, playing Concord 2 Brighton. Tickets are £22. Right, okay. So now we have another band called We Are Scientists. And it's a track called Nobody Move, Nobody Get Hurt.
Probably making this up.
Oh, that was We Are Scientists and Nobody Move, Nobody Get Hurt. Although formed on the West Coast by three California-based college students, We Are Scientists officially took flight after drummer Keith Murray, bass player Chris Kane, and drummer Michael Tapper relocated to Brooklyn and began building a small devoted following. After releasing three EPs and one independent album, the group signed with Virgin Records and released their major label debut with Love and Squalor in early 2006. Although mostly popular in America, the album became a gold-selling hit in the UK, where the band's sound, part post-punk revival and part indie rock with a touch of 80s synth pop, drew parallels on popular bands like The Editors, Franz Ferdinand and The Killers. Shall I read the next bit? Yes. TV en français. In late 2012, they entered the studio in New York with Chris Cody, Beach House, Gang Gang Dance, don't know them, Blonde Redhead played them. Two record sessions for their fourth album. Burroughs relocated to the city from England while working with Murray and Kane to write and record tracks for the album. Entitled TV en Francais, it arrived in early 2014. Must get a copy of that, haven't heard it. Will be played on a future show, I promise you. Nobody Move, Nobody Get Hurt is track one, so it's the first track from the first album with Love and Squalor. WeAreScientists.com if you want to know more. We are cracking through. Okay, this is a band that went on tour with a band, I've just suddenly forgotten their name, Nine Inch Nails, believe it or not. And then I'll have a bit of a review of the album that it comes from. This is The Devastations. It's a massively brilliant track. So I want you to, grip yourself tightly as you listen to this. It starts off with a lot of ambience and then goes into what I think is the best thing that The Devastations ever did. So enjoy this. It's called Rosa. Well, after the week I've had, we needed something like that to clear out the cobwebs. There you go. That was the Devastations and a track called Rosa. Oh, brilliant stuff. Absolutely enjoyed hearing that again. Okay, here's a review of the album it comes from. It was called Yes You, and it was by John Lusk for the BBC Music website in 2007. He wrote this. I'm not going to read it all. There isn't time. Melbourne is Australia's least sunny city. Okay, let's forget Tasmania's Hobart. We're talking mainland Australia, and it was where this moody three-piece formed in 2002. Perhaps they found the climate a little too cheery as they relocated to Berlin some time afterwards, and have since divided their time between there and London, slowly building up a small cult following. They don't actually exist anymore, which is a bit disturbing. There hasn't been anything for a couple of years from this band, and I think I need to find out why. The band's main and the most distinctive singer is Conrad Standish, whose lugubrious whisper croon variously suggests Tindersticks, Stuart Staples, Nick Cave of Brighton, or Jarvis Cocker of Sheffield. In his most reflective moments, Standish is best heard emerging from the dreamily pulsing drummer simmer of Oh Me, Oh My. Haven't played that yet. Let's skip a bit. The other most memorable numbers are Rosa, with its pounding drums and suspenseful tempo changes, and the trickling keyboard riff decorating An Avalanche of Stars, which strongly suggests a James Bond theme tune. Slow tempos I can do, and so can they, but after 50 minutes, the dark, angst-ridden tone of much of Yes You is difficult to take seriously, in particular the overcooked melodrama of the saddest sound. Still, with a name like Devastations, it would probably be churlish to ask them to lighten up. Lighten up! Go on! Rosa is track 3 from the album Yes You. MySpace, I haven't mentioned that in Yonkos. MySpace.com/Devastations. They're on Beggar's Banquet, so might give a call to Beggar's Banquet and say, oi, what are they up to at the moment? Right, let's crack on now. Two tracks to go before the end of the show. Here we go. So we're having now Calaxico. Brilliant track by them. It's called Crooked Road and the Briar, and they're an alternative country band formed in Tucson, Arizona in 96.
Death in the turbulence.
beloved daughter.
Oh, that's a good ending there. Calaxico, Crooked Road and the Briar. Although I wrote it as Crooked Rain earlier, which is an album by another band. But anyway, the two main members of Calaxico are Joey Burns and John Cavatino, who first played together in the Los Angeles band Giant Sand. They've recorded a number of albums on Quarterstick Records, and their 2005 album In the Rains was a collaboration with Iron and Wire, which reached the Billboard 200 album charts. The musical style is heavily influenced by the traditional sounds of the southwestern United States and Mexico, and they have been described as alt-country. Although they do play an eclectic variety of music, Calaxico is named after the border city in Southern California. You need to know this information. The Crooked Road and the Briar is track 4 from the bonus CD of Hot Rail. Calaxico.com if you want to know more. You've been listening to The Strange Boutique on Brighton Hove Community Radio and also on Green Futures Festivals Radio. At this point, I would normally tell you what's on next week's show. All being well, if I can get an internet connection, it will be a psychedelic show where bands have names like Edible Spatula and Lavender Lamppost. I made those names up, of course. So how are we going to end tonight's show before we have Cat TV on the radio? Well, we're going to end with Grinder Man and a track called Electric Alice, which is, let me see, 3 minutes and 16 seconds long, and basically it's from the eponymous debut studio album by Grinder Man, side project of members of Nick Cave and the Bad Seed, released on March the 5th, 2007 on Mute Records. So thank you for listening to The Strange Boutique. I've been Dave Sharman. Please, if you can, tune in next week. I'm sure I'll be here, and we'll have that psychedelic show. So I'm going to I've been saying it too much this evening. I'm going to press the button and you'll hear the music. But stay till the very end and listen to Electric Alice by Grinder Man.
Don't the stars look good tonight? Thought Electric Alice in the pale moonlight. Don't the moon look big and bright? Thought Electric Alice in the pale moonlight. Yeah. thought I'd let you gather as she passed by. Makes me feel like I'm a little child again. Saw electric eyes in the silver.